Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Huvane Wealth Management Conversation. My name is Tom Huvane, and I'm a managing director and wealth advisor here at UBS, and I'll be your host on this conversation for the next 20 minutes or so. Today's topic is an introduction to 529 college savings plans. I'm very excited to have Chris Adrian joining us today. Chris is a vice president and national 529 specialist for JP Morgan Asset Management. Her focus is educating clients on college planning and 529 plans. She has served as a liaison between JP Morgan and the state of New York's Office of the State Comptroller. And Chris holds a BS in Family Resource Management from the Buckeyes at Ohio State University. So, Chris, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Tom. Very excited to be here.
Great, absolutely. So, Chris, let's jump in. You know, I'm reminded going back many years ago of a television ad of a young child reaching into a barrel to grab something, and while reaching in, falls into the barrel. And the caption underneath says, "Kids get into the darndest places, like college." And so a lot of our clients will be sending their kids off to universities, and some of them in a few years, and some of them in another decade or two from now. And let's talk a little bit about the current cost of college, both for private and for public colleges and universities. Let's talk about that. For a newborn today, for example, you know, what might college costs look like?
Yeah, and this is probably one of the most daunting figures that your clients will hear. But for a newborn today, born today, 4 years of in-state public school will be roughly $227,000. And for 4 years of private school, over double that, over $517,000. And that's because tuition inflation is one of the fastest growing household expenses in the country today. On average, tuition grows about 6% every year. So while this year it's about $22,000 for an average in-state public school, and the average private school is about $50,000, when you extrapolate that out 18 years, that's why those numbers look so big.
Wow, that's amazing. That's an amazing number. It's a little bit of sticker shock for them.
Definitely.
Yeah.
One of the great things that I've read is that UBS has really great software that can actually help the client understand what those costs are in the future. And so I think maybe you could talk a little bit about that, Tom.
Yeah, no, that's a very, very good point. You know, we've spent a lot of time over the last couple of decades helping our clients with colleges, and one of the things that we've been able to do is develop a software within UBS that has every single state and public private university in America in our database, and the cost in today's dollars of that university. And so one of the things that we can do is to project out for many years or just a couple of years into the future what college costs might be for a specific university. So many times our clients will want us to use their own university or college they went to as a proxy for our analysis and for their children. And it really helps in the planning stages of trying to understand how much money they need to put away and what's the best way to do that. And we'll talk about the solutions in a little bit. But at least it gives them the ability to understand what the costs are and what the roadmap really looks like for them. And, you know, one of the things I think that's become really important to them, and one of the things that many of our clients, Chris, have started to incorporate inside of their analysis for college costs is the potential of scholarships and grants, you know, things that might help cover some of those costs. And, you know, sometimes they can be more or less than they expect. So hopefully you have some knowledge on this and you can, you know, share with us what an average grant or scholarship might look like for the average student.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the good news, is that those figures that we just went through before, those big daunting costs, are the sticker price of college. And the good news is when you factor in potential grants and scholarships in the future, can definitely help offset those costs. So with the grant reality, for this school year, 57% of families across the U.S. did receive grants, which is great. Keep in mind that grants are typically need-based, though. So most families make too much in way of income, adjusted gross income, to be eligible. But for those families that are, on average, it's about $5,700 a year. We'll cover about 12% of an average four-year public school. So that's some good news there. What I think is going to be most relevant for all the families that we work with is the scholarship reality. And the good news there is that scholarships are merit-based. That means anybody is eligible. And 65% of families across the U.S. receive scholarships every year. On average, it's about $7,500 each year. And the really good news is that that will cover about 15% of an average four-year public school.
Okay.
So one thought there is, well, 15% might be covered by scholarships. How do we help fund the other 85%?
Right. Well, it's an interesting point you bring up. I've sent two children to college and had two of them successfully graduate and go on into life. Both of them did receive merit awards, merit scholarships. And so that is certainly something that I think a lot of folks can think about as a way to help them with their college expenses. Some of our clients have questions on things like financial aid and filling out the financial aid forms before college. And sometimes they're concerned about, you know, what kind of factors matter most when the schools are considering giving out or the government is considering giving out financial aid. Can you talk a little bit about how that formula works and you know, how that affects parents?
Yeah, absolutely. So that is definitely a question that we get quite often as we speak with clients across the country. And that is, what does the financial aid package look like and what is that formula? So when you fill out the FAFSA, it's always the year before your child goes off to college. That date is now October 1st. So that's when the enrollment opens. The federal government does encourage every family to fill out the FAFSA, even if they think they may not be eligible for a lot in way of aid. But the important thing is, it is a defined formula that the government is looking at. It's a parent bucket and a student bucket. But the biggest driver of the entire formula is the parent's income. It's actually a sliding scale between 22 and 47%. So if you're in a lower tax bracket, be closer to the 22. If you're in the higher tax bracket, you'll be closer to the 47% of the entire formula. And then, very importantly, parent assets are a very small component. It's only 5.64% of the entire formula. And so if you hold any kind of investment, except for retirement accounts, fortunately retirement is excluded, it is only 5.64% of the entire formula.
Yeah.
So that's the parent bucket. And then I touched briefly on the student bucket. Just wanted to go over those figures as well as part of the formula.
Sure.
Students' income is 50%. But it is protected up to $6,600, so don't worry about that so much.
Okay.
Student assets are 20% of the formula. So if you have any custodial accounts, which are typically called UGMAs or UTMAs, or any CDs in the student's name, those will be 20% of the total formula.
Okay.
And what they're trying to solve for is what's called the expected family contribution, or the EFC for short. And that's the figure that the government will use to determine how much you might be eligible for in way of aid.
Right. Yeah, a lot of numbers there and a lot of things to be considering when you're not only funding college education, but also when you're looking to file for financial aid as well. So, you know, we've talked about a number of the challenges and a lot of the, you know, the hoops to jump through for college planning. Let's get into the solution, which we're going to talk about today, which is 529 plan. You know, this is something that, you know, I personally have used very successfully. As I mentioned, I sent my two kids to college and saved through 529 plans when they were very young, and just did that on a very consistent basis. And so when the time came for them to choose a university to attend, you know, the costs were not as big a factor on that decision. So let's talk about that solution and the way that we can help our clients today. And, you know, talk a little bit about, Chris, if you can, describe the 529. You know, what are the major benefits to clients to investing in the 529 for education?
Yeah, absolutely. So the 529 is, think of it very much like a Roth IRA. Your dollars always go in after tax. It grows tax deferred. And as long as the money is used for college in the future, all of the earnings in the account come out tax free. So that's okay. A huge benefit of a 529 plan, is that tax deferred compounding of your contributions. And the other cool benefit is another tax advantage. Each state has their own 529 plan. So in the state of New York, for example, if you invest in the New York 529 plan, you're also eligible for a state tax deduction. This year, that's up to $10,000 for a married couple who files jointly, and $5,000 if you might be an individual filer. So pretty attractive state tax deduction that comes with your annual contributions, in addition to those great tax-deferred compounding that occurs over the life of the account. And the second major benefit is a little-known benefit. It's actually an estate planning benefit, and it's called the accelerated gift. It only exists within 529 plans, where each year you can gift up to $15,000 per child. And if you're married, you can double that. Within a 529 plan, you can accelerate that and multiply it by five as one big lump sum. So if you have the means to do that, or if perhaps there might be a grandparent who has the means to do it, they can gift up to $75,000 per person. If they're married, they can gift $150,000 per person. But what I love about that is you can gift across all of your children and grandchildren. It removes it from your estate, and it's also the only revocable gift you can make that is a completed gift. And what I mean by that is you can bring it back into your estate if you might need the money down the road. But that accelerated gift is definitely very special, only exists within 529 plans.
Wow, that's very, very good. Very, very good savings vehicle. And, you know, one of the questions that our clients get is, you know, every state has their own 529 plan. And many clients will ask, well, if I do the New York plan, does my child have to go to college in New York? If I do a California plan, does my child have to go to college in that state? How does that work?
Yeah, so the great news about 529 plans is that they're really flexible. You can purchase a plan in New York, and it's actually approved to use federally. So that means that your child could go to school in Florida, have the New York plan, and still be eligible for those qualified distributions. As long as the college or university they're attending is accredited and listed on the FAFSA website. The other cool flexible thing is that they can be used for vocational schools. So if your child decides to go into HVAC systems, that's also going to be considered a qualified expense. So
right.
There's definitely some good flexibility there.
Right. No, that is great. And so they don't have to be as concerned about what state they use. They should be thinking about what's going to be best for them and their families. And, you know, you're talking about using it for other things other than college. I mean, it can be used for law school, grad school, get an MBA, go to med school. And some clients, especially here in New York, they ask about prior to college. So I know that on the federal level, they have approved using 529s from the K to 12 range. So using it for private high school, for example. Can you talk a little bit about that? Can the 529 plan be used for that?
Yes. Yeah, so that's the other flexible component. Just a couple of years ago, the federal government now allows you to use it K through 12 to towards any tuition costs that you might incur, up to $10,000 a year per child. So if you do have students who might be going to private school for K through 12, it's a great benefit. I do caution that some states consider it non-qualified. So while it waives the 10% penalty at the federal level, unfortunately, some states like New York, for example, consider it non-qualified, and they actually will what's called recapture your state tax deduction. So something to weigh. You know, it's certainly a huge benefit that it can now be used for K through 12, but just be careful about that New York state tax deduction recapture that might occur.
Right. As we always say, when it comes to tax issues, always consult with your tax advisor on those, but we're always happy to work with them. This has really been great, Chris. I mean, we could probably talk about this for hours and hours and, you know, many, many questions. You know, we always like to kind of end on a little bit of a fun note as well. And, you know, I know that, you know, one of the things that we had talked about was your, the time you spent at Ohio State. And the Buckeyes there, and you know, the football team had a great year this year, and made it to the national championship. Not all the way yet. Tell me, how was that experience for you, and how was it when you attended the university? What was your experience like?
Yeah, so I attended Ohio State many, many moons ago, back in the 90s, and fortunately for me as a student, you got these extremely discounted tickets. But the stadium sat 107,000 people. And
wow.
So just the environment was amazing. It literally shook when people would cheer. And back then, Eddie George was the big running back, and he was amazing. So
wow.
Loved chanting Eddie back then, and just some amazing memories of being a student at Ohio State, outside of studying, of course. And with the championship, yeah, we were so excited. I mean, the Orion Day has led such a great program, especially on the heels of Urban Meyer. And now that he's joining Jacksonville, that's huge news, too. But
yep.
For Ryan to bring us the national championship, especially during a COVID year where we were concerned about the players, that was phenomenal. And the win against Clemson, actually, the one before the national championship, that was
right.
Just so sweet. Nice redemption.
Yes, that was a big one. That was the
yeah.
big one. Hopefully we'll all be back, all the students will all be back in college once again in a year from now. You know, hopefully things will start to get back a little bit to normal for them. So, so Chris, I really want to thank you for being with us today and helping educate us. You know, I feel smarter already, and I know our clients will benefit from your insights. And for those of you with any questions, or if you would like to continue the conversation, you can reach our team at ubs.com/team, T-E-A-M, /humane. So thank you all for your time today, and we're looking forward to the next conversation.